The older guys. We got a pretty smart church here. Pretty. Everybody see this, more or less? This morning we're going to learn a little lesson. And let me find my notes here. Okay. There we go. All right. I'm going to write down a big word. He was tripping. I would not know what was going on. I'd still yank. He'd be falling down everywhere. All right. I'm going to write the word down. See if you can see it.
Lasting well of wisdom and knowledge. And it's rich stuff. Very rich stuff. Yesterday I was at a place, and after I left, I felt like I was in the mud. the only way I can describe it's like being rich and then walking up to a pauper who thinks he's rich. But you know you're rich. And there's nobody who can tell you you're not rich. You know you're filthy rich. You know you got everything you could possibly want. You know the caddy you drove up in the ghettos with. And you walk out and this other person's saying, "I'm rich." Holes in their shoes. Natural means I'm talking about. I'm not talking about they may be happy as far as what they think is happy, but I'm talking about just being plain rich. Having somebody be deceived into thinking that I am rich. And that's how I felt yesterday, going to people who thought they were saved. And when you know you're saved, I told somebody last night I felt like I walked 10 flights downward to see where they were. I'm just glad for truth. I'm not against nobody, but they need what we have. And sometimes we just got to be patient and patient and patient until they can be elevated to where we are. And I'm just glad for that. Amen. But anyway, enough of that. Jude, praise God. Jude only has one chapter, so. All they got to do is say verse. I'm not going to confuse anybody now. Chapter this and so. Jude has only about one chapter, if we could call it a chapter at all. My Bible don't even have a one above it, so we can say Jude. So we read here, it says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, called. Amen. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, however you want to say that. When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Amen. He said, I'm writing to you, and I felt it needful for me to write to you and exhort to you and to encourage and to state unto you and to yet encourage you that you should earnestly contend. We fight a good fight of faith. We war a good warfare. It is not the charismatic warfare. Swords clashing and banging. Too many comic books and movies. Whatever, witchcraft stuff, praise. But our warfare is a warfare of righteousness against unrighteousness. Our warfare is remaining unto the Lord a peculiar people. Our fight is a good fight of faith toward God, righteous living in God, in this present world of ungodliness. That's our warfare. Our warfare is not, oh God, I have trouble, please send a legion of angels to help me. Because the devil's on my hide, and he's got some friends with him. And I have a bad, you know, all you got to do is speak the name of Jesus in faith, and the devil and his crowd leave. Boy, that's a big battle. Lasted a long time. Man, I was there for days. I came out hurt, wounded. Man, I needed the altar again. Praise God. Gee. I don't see any warfare with Paul saying, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. That same hour he came out. He got thrown in prison, but, I mean, didn't affect his Holy Ghost. There were no sword clashings. There was a devil who believes in God. And there was the name that he knew, the name that cast him out. And when the name said get out, he could squabble all he want, but he's leaving. So there's no great warfare. See, that's all 10 flights downward of deceived, ungodly, imbecile teaching of warfare they don't comprehend, and they're still living in sin. And they're talking about spiritual warfare. You know, sword fights between angels and devils. You know, fighting over whether or not I'll get this new job. See all those devils surrounding McDonald's now. We don't want him here. Then I go pray and fast. Oh, God, send the Legion. Send Mike. And send old Gabe. I'm going to get him out of the way so I can go get hired. And sure enough, they'll believe that. And the devil will say, okay, next day I'll make sure you get that job. They walk in there and they come back saying, man, thank God the angels won. I got the job, Mom. Oh, shanana. Praise God. Forgive me. I'm not being cruel. I just hate the devil. And they say they hate the devil and still smoke and chew and cuss. And the devil's still in them. Praise God. But anyway, whatever reason I got on all that. I'm just saying our warfare and our fight is a good fight of faith. Don't misunderstand the word of God. When you feel like you're going through a rough time, the biggest battle and the biggest struggle you'll ever face is not with the devil. It's with you. That you are greater than the devil to some degree as far as you give yourself the biggest problems. The devil's nowhere in sight. Now, spirits are able to work through flesh and suggest in flesh and in your mind, yes. They have somewhat that ability to maybe throw some crazy thought or some circumstance of life where he's able to work through sinners and situations and, yeah, cause havoc for you. But the biggest enemy you will ever face and you will ever fight is yourself. So the best thing you could possibly do is be crucified with Christ. Praise God and be God's all the way. And quit wrestling with your flesh if you are. Praise God. Because our warfare is not supposed to be with flesh. It's supposed to already be done. Amen. And when our warfare is with principalities and powers against spiritual wickedness, it's no sword clashing fight. It's a fight of faith. Because though we war against things, we know the battle is not ours but the Lord's. So really, the only thing that we're supposed to do and that we have to do is just have faith in God. Stay praying, stay believing God, and watch the Lord work for us. And so that sounds like a big battle, don't it? So let me read again to you. He's saying that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Once delivered. Praise God. He came once in the end of the world to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He came to deliver something that we are a part of today. It's called the way, the truth, the life. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Amen. There's not another. But this one faith and this one baptism and this one God that came to us, we should earnestly contend for that. Earnestly contend for it. And four, he goes on to say, and I'll read this very quickly. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, he's saying, brethren, beloved, I'll put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. He's saying to us this morning, earnestly contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. Because he delivered to them something, but those, he's talking about the children of Israel now. Those who did not believe, he overthrew in the wilderness. Those who did not earnestly contend for what was delivered to them, they were destroyed. And it says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he's reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And it goes on, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And now he goes back to these people. These certain men crept in unawares. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. And then it goes on to them, woe, and it goes on, but I'm not going to read this whole portion of the word. But now let us go now to Philippians, the third chapter. And here we'll read. Amen. Philippians 3. Talking about earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Praise God. That earnestly contend is grabbing a hold of what God provided for us. So now we read Philippians, the third chapter. We were in this the other night. Philippians 3. We go now to verse 8. Praise God. Philippians, the third chapter, 8th verse, says, yea, doubtless, I go back now about Paul. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have allowed the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith. I want to give us a few things to think about this morning. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The reason, that I may know him. Now we read this sometimes, it's okay to a degree, we testify, that I may know him. You know. And the power of his resurrection. And we do want to know him. But listen to how it reads. It's all one verse. It's all one statement. It all continues. He's saying, I want to just be found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which was of the law. I sacrificed. I did what the law said for me to do. Therefore, by that I stood righteous. I stood righteous by what I did. The sacrifices I made, keeping the Sabbath, and doing all of those things. But Christ came to redeem the Jews from out underneath the law. Because by the law came the knowledge of sin, but the law could not remove sin. The law could not do away with sin. All the law could do was be like a school teacher that said, come on, I'm going to teach you until the perfect one comes. I'm going to teach you right from wrong. Until the one who comes is able to take away the wrong that's still in your heart away. And that was Jesus Christ. When he was crucified, all those who died under the law in times past found all of those sins rolled ahead to the cross and remitted. Washed away. But Paul was still living. And he lived in a time where there was no more law but grace. And he realized outside of that grace, the righteousness which is of the law was not good enough. He needed a righteousness that was higher than law. A righteousness that was above the works of the law that was given by Moses. And it was the righteousness which is of God by faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. And nothing in the law was by faith. It was by works. So he had to now put faith and trust in God that the sacrifice of Calvary, the sacrifice of Jesus that Paul never saw. Paul was not there to see the cross. He came afterwards. And he had to put faith that if I do what this brother Ananias is saying, then this is going to cleanse me from all sin. Amen. Isn't that right? He's saying that by this sacrifice, I'll be washed and I'll be clean, I'll be pure, I'll be holy. And it took faith for that to happen. It took faith for Paul to say, the law is not good. I mean, the law was good, but I mean, the law could not make me perfect. He had to come to that place where he had to start believing in the one he was persecuting. He had to start manifesting faith towards the one he thought he was serving. And he realized it's going to take faith to get me from where I am to where Jesus wants me to be. Faith. And there was something that Paul obtained that was greater than the righteousness that he thought he had in the law. And it was a righteousness that came by faith. All right, that's just a little bit, and we'll go on here. Praise God. Amen. Follow me here. He said, I want to be found in Christ. Isn't that our desire? I don't want to stand saying, God, you know, because I have a long hair and a long dress, I'm saved. That's not righteousness. It's not even holiness. Because I'm clean cut, appear as Pentecostal, I'm saved. Because I follow the rules and regulations, I'm saved. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. Amen. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, God's righteousness, by faith, that I may know him. All continual now. Follow me so you can understand what I'm saying. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. See, without the righteousness of God by faith, you cannot know him. Amen. The reason why we are clothed with a robe of righteousness, the reason why we are called, before it ever happened, we were called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. The reason why we were called that, because Isaiah wrote in faith. He wrote of something yet to come. He wrote of a righteousness that would shine forth as the brightness. Praise God. God said, I'm not going to rest till the righteousness goes forth as the light. Amen. Till salvation is declared. Amen. It was his salvation. It was salvation that came by Jesus Christ. It was a righteousness that was higher than the righteousness of the law that came by Jesus Christ. The ability to do right before God. Amen. And we can't know him. That's how it's reading here. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. You see, you cannot know God, will not know God, if you don't have the righteousness of God in your life. You can't know the power of the resurrection if you do not have this righteousness which is by faith. Read it. That I may know him. That's why we are clothed with righteousness. That's why before we were converted, our righteousness was as filthy rags. You see, today some people say, I can be saved at home. All I got to do is read my Bible, pray, and I'm all right. And we say, no, that's not all right, because your righteousness won't save you. Well, I'm born again. Well, if you did have the righteousness of God, that righteousness would cause you to be in church Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. Praise God. That's right. If you have the righteousness that's of God, if you have the true Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost don't say, I can be saved at home. The Holy Ghost say, come on, Joe, it's time to go to church. And if you love God, that will be in you. Amen. If you love God, amen, that's something that says, I want to be in the house of God will be there. And that's there because of righteousness. So we have the righteousness of God, or else if you don't believe that you stand righteous by what you did and by what you obeyed and by how you stand now, then you're a sinner. If you don't believe God now, you're lost. I don't care if you did get the Holy Ghost. Whatsoever is not of faith is sinning, and in God there's no sin. So this is what I'm stirring up your mind to think about. If we don't stand believing that we are righteous before God because of what God's provided for us, then we're sinners. Because there's nothing that I can say I did or that I do that keeps me righteous. Yes, I was baptized in Jesus' name, but that was a work of God, not a work of young. That was obedience to the word. That was so that the faith of the operation of God could work in my life and cleanse my heart. But the one who did the cleansing was God. And I believed that he did it when I was baptized. And when he filled me with the Holy Ghost, I believe and still believe. As long as I stay righteous and don't become ungodly, don't walk after the ways of sin, if I stay pure before the eyes of God, walking in the light as He is in the light, then I believe I stand righteous. I believe I stand pure. I believe I stand saying I don't have my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Amen. Praise God. I hope that, you know, you don't trust in what you do or how you dress to say that's righteousness. Righteousness that's unto holiness caused you to do what you did. There's no rule of a preacher that says women don't cut your hair. There's submission to God and there's righteousness. If you have righteousness in your life, then you'll do right. And it's a righteousness that gets in you by the Holy Ghost. And let me read this fully, and then we're going to go to Romans 1. So, Paul's saying, I have a righteousness now that I got when I got the Holy Ghost. For Romans 14:17 says these words, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink as you suppose, but righteousness and peace and joy, where? Say it again. In the Holy Ghost. That's where the righteousness of God is. It's in the Holy Ghost. No Holy Ghost, no righteousness of God. Amen. No baptism in Jesus' name. It's all the plan of God. Without this one baptism, without this one faith, you cannot stand righteous. You cannot stand pure in the eyes of God, saying, God, I stand with a clean heart, a pure heart. I stand with holy hands lifting up unto you. If you do not have these elements in your life, if you're not part of that one faith, you don't have the righteousness of God and you're not saved. But if we do, if we can say, I'm in Christ today, I'm serving the Lord, then you stand with a righteousness that came by faith. And the reason why you have that righteousness is so you can know God. Amen. And so you can know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul's saying, I want you to consider it in this light. Paul's saying, you know, I suffered the loss of all things that I might win Christ. I let go of what I thought made me righteous so that I could be made righteous by God. And I allowed the loss of all of that and found a righteousness that was greater than anything I knew before, so I could know God, so I could know the power of the resurrection of God. How can you know the power that's in the Holy Ghost and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ if you're still living in sin? You know what I'm saying? You can't know the power that Jesus said, behold, I give you power over all the power of God. No, you can't come into my life, Slewfoot. No work of the flesh, you're not going to conquer me. I tell you, there's victory in that. There's victory in walking with God, knowing that nothing will by any means hurt you. Praise God. When the devil wants to come against you with words to aggravate your day, there's a shield of faith quenching all the fiery darts. Because you're walking as a king and a priest. I tell you what, a king and a priest is special to God. Don't you think He takes notice in His kings? He takes notice in His priests? Praise God. Priests do something. Priests minister to service like they did in the Old Testament in the tabernacle. They minister service to God. That was their operation. You can read it in Hebrews 9. I want to take the time to read it all. But they were to minister unto God and do the service of God. They were to wash. They were to offer incense. They were to light the candle, keep the oil on the candle so the candle would keep burning. They were to eat the shoe bread. They were to do a lot, offer sacrifices. They did the service of God. Remember that. Priests were kings and priests. Now I want to say something to some of you ministers or anybody whoever desires someday and has any type of thought of being a minister. We're kings and priests, correct? And we're to rule and reign, correct? With who? Jesus Christ, right? Jesus said, by me kings reign. So we can't reign without God. What do we reign over? Sin. We reign over problems of life. We reign over things that would destroy us. We reign over our own flesh and its desires. That's really simple, okay? I just stated out. Should have done that 20 minutes ago. But anyway, that's what we do. Settled, okay? The word rule. 1 Timothy 3:4, one that ruleth well his own house. Talking about you that desire, if you're ever thinking about pastoring someday, think about this. If you ever have any thoughts someday of pastoring a church, hear this. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. If your children are in subjection, don't think about being a pastor. It's true. It says one that rules well his own house. If you can't rule your own house, how are you going to rule the church of God? If you can't keep your kids quiet and behave and they can't be disciplined in the home, don't think that you're going to rule well a church. And even besides that, you'll be able to rule your life. Rule over your flesh. Rule and reign with God and being able to live right, being righteous, being holy, being without blemish, without blame. We can do it. Means if you have a problem once in a while sinning, get it out of the way if you're thinking about being a minister of God. And he talks about deacons. Prove them first. Don't just become a minister. Say, bless God, I'm a minister now, I can preach. No. God proves you. And if you're thinking about doing it, for everybody, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Now 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, says these words. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let me read that again. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. While you're living for God, and while you're walking in the word, you don't need to be ashamed. You need to stand studying to show yourself approved. And this is what I want to say tonight. And everything that I'm saying about being a king and a priest, I want you to learn how to rule over yourself. If you learn to rule and reign with God, then you'll understand why you're in a service and something wants to damper the service that you'll break through and reign. You'll break through and rule over that thing that wants to beset the service in those cases. And you'll say, look, take a hike, spirit, take a hike, flesh. You're not having this service. It belongs to God. I'm here to worship God. And everybody breaks through and we have a good time and they worship God. Why? It's because you understand your office. You understand your position in God. You understand that you're a king and a priest. King and priest don't get overtaken very easily. We're supposed to be strong men of God and strong women of God. We're supposed to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. Kings aren't wimps, neither are priests. Study to show yourself. Prove unto God. I don't have to worry about standing approved to you. I stand knowing that I need to study myself. Study your life. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Examine yourself. I said some of the things about the ministers. Look, if you're ever desiring to be a minister someday and pastoring a church, remember with the word. I say go home and meditate, memorize those scriptures, and think about it very heavily. And make sure that you're ruling yourself. And then study to show yourself approved unto God, because that's what the word says to do. Examine yourself. And if you find some areas that aren't quite up to par, work on them. Work on them. Study to show yourself approved unto God. I want to stand approved unto him. I don't have to worry about anybody else. If I stand approved to God, then I know I'm doing all right. I know I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Now Romans, the 12th chapter. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise God. All right, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Says these words. Remember that sign language thing? This is I, right? What's me? This? Or you? Or however? You? Okay. This is you. And this is me. Okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 1.
got your attention, I think. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech. Paul is talking to you. Don't worry about the person sitting beside you. Don't worry about how somebody else is going to be living. Don't worry about how you're going to try to make somebody else live. Get it off your brain and realize he's saying, I beseech you. Saying he's beseeching me. He's beseeching me by the mercies of God. He says, I beseech you therefore. Okay, whoa, let me read that again. He's talking to me. Brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, approved unto God, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, say the next word,
service.
And what did the priests do? Service unto God. They did a service in the temple. They did certain things. They offered up incense. Praise God. They prayed. They did things with the shewbread. They ate. They washed. They made sure the oil was kept full. Praise God. Your reasonable service as priests unto God. There is a service as a priest of God that you have everybody individually. You see, he called the Levites. We can read this in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. He said, and ye will be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. A kingdom of priests. Everybody's individual. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, let me say something, because I got a little bit more out of this passage than I used to. We think of the word sacrifice, and everybody's because we think a lot of times we got to sacrifice stuff. And that's maybe sometimes the phrase of the word that we look at. We think a living sacrifice. That means I gotta live my Christian walk saying, oh, I gotta give up this. Oh, I gotta sacrifice that. Oh, I gotta go through this hardship. Oh, I gotta go through that living sacrifice like some drink. No, no, no. Let's read this again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Praise God. A living sacrifice. Say that with me, a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Holy, H-O-L-Y, acceptable unto God. Your reasonable service. Now what the priests did, they grabbed animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, plopped them on the altar and burned them, correct? And that savor of that sacrifice went unto God and God was pleased with it. But now in the church today, he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Doesn't mean we have to kill ourselves. Doesn't mean we have to do any harm to us. That's not what it's saying. It's saying be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Be somebody that's offering the good incense of prayer. And let your life be that sacrifice that's pleasing to God. Let him, when he sees us, he sees somebody that's operating as a king and priest like God made us. And my life is pleasing and acceptable. And it's approved to God, and I'm doing the right things. I'm living right. I'm doing what he desires me to do. And when he sees my life, he sees it's a living sacrifice. They had to kill the sacrifices in the Old Testament. But the smell and the fragrance of that sacrifice, when it was burnt, it was up to God. And he said it's a sweet-smelling odor. It pleased him. So what God wants to see come forth out of our lives tonight is a sweet-smelling odor. He wants us to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him. Our reasonable service, very reasonable. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's all stand. God has made it possible for us tonight.
to be a true king and priest unto God. We don't have to worry about someday ruling over New York City as a mayor, like they say, and make it something that's way off in the distance, and then they fail to realize that God has made them already a king and priest. And it's more special to me to understand that God has made me something so I can live right. He has put me in a place of authority so that I can make the right judgments, I can make the right decisions, I can hear his voice like Brother Mike testified. I have authority over the enemy. He's made me a priest. Means I can sacrifice to God. Means my life can be pure unto him and pleasing in everything that I do. A living sacrifice. Praise God. So I say to you tonight, I beseech you, it's all personal to us. Praise God. Make sure you're ruling your life right. And have the knowledge you can do it if you feel like you can't. You can do all things through Christ. Praise God. He's given us something very special called the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost gives us the right to have authority. Authority to speak the word of God. That's why when you speak the word and tell something to get out of your life, it goes because of the word of God. Just like the spirits came out of the people, so will your problem come out of your life if you speak with authority. Amen. He's made us kings and priests tonight. Praise God. Understand what you are and do well with God. Examine your own life. Study yourself. Praise God. Amen. I believe God can make us all better. And in those areas in your life that you feel are challenging to challenge, challenge them. You see some things need to change, change them. You've got what it takes to do it. Praise God. And we have what it takes to be true people of God. Amen. People of God ruling and reigning with him. Amen. That's what I want to be tonight. Praise God. I want to be what God would have me to be. Praise God. And don't be entangled with the affairs of this life. Don't be conformed to this world. Praise God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Let's all come forward tonight before we are dismissed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll say this to everybody. If you need the Holy Ghost, it's here tonight for you to receive. Praise God. Amen. Let him wash you. Let him make you what some of us already are. Praise God. Let him make you a king. Let him make you a priest. Let him put you in a special place with him. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, sweet Jesus. Praise God. Praise.
We can all love Jesus. That is one thing that everyone can do. Doesn't matter who you are or what you've been through, loving Jesus is one thing that everyone can do. We can all love Jesus. We can all love Jesus. That is one thing that everyone can do.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus is one thing that everyone can do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory.
It matters not who you are.
Yes, amen.
Or what you've been. is one thing that everyone can do.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Let's lift our voices to Him. Praise God, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, tonight. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus, praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Ruling and reigning with God can cure that Monday syndrome. Amen. And, it's true. It can cure every day that wants to be a bad day. You have the ability to turn it around. Really simple. You have what it takes to live for God. Because He made you that. He made you an overcomer by the word of His testimony. Amen. So I say to you tonight, walk in it. Praise God. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in this power and authority. And I believe things will happen in your life and everybody around us that'll be beyond our comprehension if we just walk what we are. Amen. And we can do it. Praise God. Amen. We can do all things. Praise God. Well, God bless you.